Chapter 9. The Obelisk.
Pilliam threw himself at the orc. Debris still rained from the hole in the roof as he tackled it around the neck, and it fell, driven by his momentum, crashing through the shattered door arch and down the stairs beyond. Pilliam went with it, hanging on through every collision against the steps, every bruising crash against the walls. The beast roared, spraying hot and rancid spittle against his face, but Pilliam clung on. They landed hard, stone cracking audibly beneath them, the orc on its back, Pilliam on top with his hand around its thickly corded neck. It fought back, swiping at his shoulder guard and ripping it off completely. The ceramite rang like a tolling bell as it hit the ground. Pilliam got his other hand over the orc's face, digging in under its upper jaw with his fingers. It champed at him, its sharp teeth gnawing at the metal of his gauntlet, but he managed to grab the lower jaw with his other hand. Then he pulled. Tongue lolling, throat warbling in half-choked rage, the orc raked at Pilliam's side, tearing open the shrapnel wound and making a mess of his mesh weave. Though durable, it wasn't crafted to repel blades or bullets, and came apart against the onslaught. Blood instantly dampened his legs and abdomen, but Pilliam held on, slowly prising apart the orc's jaws until they broke. The beast screamed, a porcine shriek that had Pilliam clamping his own jaw shut, such was its intensity. But he kept going. When the lower jaw came apart, wrenched off in his bloody hand, he seized the upper jaw and rammed the orc's head against the ground over and over until it was nothing but gory pulp. He sagged then, flat against the orc's body, as the last of its air wheezed from its lungs like a deflating bladder. He heard the medicus from above, her voice getting closer as she descended the stairs. Belatedly, he realized the outer door to the infirmary had been ripped open. The street yawned from it. The night looked blacker than he thought it would, like a funerary veil had been drawn across it, and he was looking through its gauzy material. Two figures loped through that blackness, patches of hard oil shimmering with sweat. One dropped something. It landed wetly, and Pilliam realized it was a part-chewed human arm. He struggled to his feet, his hot blood turning cold. Or perhaps that was just him. He had no weapon. His bones were cracked in several places, and he was bleeding from wounds to his back and sides. He could feel his transhuman physiology working to repair him, but even Martian genetic science had its limits.
"I just need a moment," he rasped to the orcs.
The beasts snarled to one another in some crude approximation of language. They looked hungry through the funerary veil, a deeper darkness brought on by Pilliam's injuries. If he died now, Quen died, and Rita, and Garen too. He barely knew the armsman, and had only just met the medicus, but he could not allow that. If he did, he would have failed them. He would have failed his chapter. So he forced himself to stand straight and look his killers in their piggish red eyes.
"Courage and honour," he whispered bitterly,
knowing his end would be an ignominious one, but hoping it would give the mortals enough time to slip away. He'd had such hopes of glory. It had begun to rain, slow at first but growing to a fierce downpour. Orc skin glistened in the weak light. Rivulets of water ran down Pilliam's face, washing off some of the blood. It gathered in pinkish puddles at his feet. He felt it dampen his beard, and it plinked loudly off the sheath of his armour, a drumbeat to match his twin hearts. He did not need a weapon. He was the weapon.
"Come on, then," he roared,
summoning up his strength, the furnace of his defiance burning hot.
"Come and face a knight of Macragge!"
And they did. The first orc had dropped to all fours and had kicked into a loping stride when an armoured blur struck it in the side and smashed it onto its back. The second came up short, confronted by a warrior in blue warplate, a shining sword in his hand. Vorilenus drew a second blade, a combat knife which he held in a reverse grip as the orc charged. He turned as it lunged, dipping his shoulder so the beast flew right past him. It slid, scrabbling uncertainly, and wondering how half of its entrails had unfurled behind it. A deep slit in the orc's belly provided the answer, and it looked down dumbly at the savage wound, Borellinus's gladius slick with its vitae. It stumbled forwards, still intent on the warrior's murder, before it collapsed, entangled in its own steaming offal. Pilium stomped on its neck to end it. The first orc had recovered, grunting as it shook off its disorientation. Vorilenus flung his knife. A silver flash lit the dark as a hilt appeared in the orc's skull, the blade already buried all the way. The orc rocked on its heels, nerveless fingers scratching dumbly at the hilt, before it crashed back and stayed dead.
"Well met, Vorilenus," said Pilium, and smelled copper in his icy breath.
He had one hand against the doorframe, holding himself up.
"You look in need of an apothecary, brother."
"I am mending. Besides, I already have one," he said, as the medicus appeared behind him with Rita. "Is that the last of them?"
Vorilenus had walked over to the dead orc and retrieved his knife with a savage pull.
"A horde gathers at the northern edge of the city," he said, wiping the blade clean on his cloak. "Sicarius goes to meet it."
He looked up at Pilium.
"Can you fight?"
Pilium laughed loudly, ignoring Vorilenus's evident confusion at his reaction.
"Hand me a sword, and we'll see."
He let go of the doorframe and found he could stand unaided.
"I don't have a sword, brother," said Vorilenus, but pulled forth a spear that had been strapped to his back and tossed it over. "I do have this."
Pilium caught the haft one-handed.
"This will do," he said, appraising the weapon approvingly.
Quen stepped forwards.
"He cannot fight," she told Vorilenus. "He needs rest so he can heal."
"I have rested too long already,"
Pilium told her, though not unkindly.
"I thank you, medicus, but I need you to bind these wounds one last time so that I can do my duty."
Quen looked about to protest, but relented in the end, giving Pilium a shallow nod. He turned to tramp back up the stairs.
"Where are you going?" asked Quen.
"To retrieve my armour from where you left it, medicus."
The northward wall had collapsed into rubble, and a horde of greenskins swarmed through the breach, bellowing and hooting. They dragged a massive carved totem with them, the obelisk, as Scarfell's scout had dubbed it. Hewn from wood, it crudely depicted the faces of the brutish orc gods, one atop the other, each huge and leering. It tottered, ungainly but upright, rolled along six ramshackle stone wheels that churned furrows of earth into the ground wherever it went. An orc, its skin painted in gaudy colours, a plume of ragged feathers sprouting from a wooden crown upon its head, and the stone torques around its thick arms, stood at the summit of the totem. It carried a gnarled staff of wood in one clawed hand, the skulls of birds and vermin rattling against the haft as it shook with the orc's frenzied capering. It teetered on the totem's edge several times, but never fell, always swinging back as if held by some invisible thread. Eight burly orcs, their skin even blacker than the others, heaved the totem forwards on thick ropes, and surrounding them was the horde itself.
"Arrak! Arrak! Arrak!"
they bellowed, as the rain hammered down and lightning split the sky. Standing on a parapet that overlooked the courtyard leading to the north wall, Dacius gauged around 100 orcs, but more were scrambling over the rubble all the time.
"We have to stop them here," he said to Sicarius and the others, "or they'll overrun the city. Digging them out then will be painful and arduous."
Scarfell's warriors had backed off, allowing the orcs at their head to roam unchecked through the outer district. It had been abandoned already, the people moving further into the city and away from the horde, as what was left of their army came to meet.
Three towers looked out upon the square, and archers garrisoned each one, but held their quarrels for now. And three gates led them from the square, wide enough for 10 men abreast to pass. Two had been sealed by portcullises, and then braced to further reinforce them. A small guard protected each one, 12 men with spears and crossbows stationed behind the barrier. The third gate lay open, and it was here the remnants of the force that had been engaging the horde retreated to. Sicarius looked down upon it now, standing right above it. The orcs had stopped to celebrate their victory and eat the spoils of that triumph. Arrow shaft silenced the injured, a last mercy before the orcs fell upon them with hungry tooth and claw. Somewhere in the distance, a drum began to beat, a slow and dolorous rhythm that wove the thread of despair through Scarfell's men. "That gate is all that stands between the city and the horde?" Scarfell, a diminutive figure next to the Knights of Macragge on the wall, nodded.
"There are no other ways in, no tunnels or postern gates. This is it."
"That sport,"
offered Vandius, his lip curling in distaste,
"will not occupy them for long."
"Agreed," said Sicarius, and turned to Scarfell. "I have a plan, if you would hear it." "Of course, I am eager to learn how battles are won in the south."
Sicarius raised a wry smile, and Dacius caught his stray glance.
"Orcs, bone swine, they are eager for the fight," said Sicarius. "So we give it to them. Have your men raise a clamour. Have them beat hafts and hilts against shields. Draw them in and then stop them. The narrow aperture of the gate will keep them penned in. And Fenian," he gestured to Iolas, who gave Scarfell a casual salute, "we'll stand with you to galvanize your courage."
"I see," said Scarfell.
His jaw twitched, signalling his mild consternation at the remark about courage.
"And what will you do?"
Dacius answered, unable to keep the eagerness from his voice.
"We shall enter the fray, my friend. There,"
he pointed to the obelisk,
"is the object of our wrath. Break it, and we break the will of the horde. Orcs are cowards at heart."
He smiled grimly.
"And they do not like the taste of Macragge steel."
"Are we in agreement, Scarfell?"
asked Sicarius, once Dacius was done posturing.
"We have fought these bone swine many times before. This is how we will beat them back and save your city."
Scarfell regarded the orcs as rain pounded and drumbeats bruised the air. There were signs they had almost finished their revelling, a restiveness that bordered on frenzy.
"You are either brave or mad to want to run into that," he admitted. "Truly, I hope you do not die, Sicarius. I have found I rather like you and your kin, and think perhaps I should like to visit the south one day."
Sicarius laughed, and there was a certain reckless abandon to his mood.
"You would be an honoured guest, Scarfell. Ha! Let's be at it, shall we? These orcs won't kill themselves."